The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Off the faceoff in the Sharks zone. Liljegren back to get it. Swings it up the boards. Eklund skating across the rink. Hustling to it. Puts to the middle of the ice. Here comes Celebrini. 2-on-2. He bobbles the puck for a second. Recovers it. Gains the zone on the left wing. Backhands down. And again skating off the ice. Eklund got it. Celebrini hammered by Moser. Open ice. And there's Eklund coming right back at Moser. And they're going to fight. Moser went after Eklund. Celebrini a second time in this game. Got a roughing penalty in the first period. And now Eklund is going after Moser. For going after Celebrini again. And they get separated by the linesman, but the fans here at the Shark Tank are going to really appreciate what William Eklund is doing, and I think the guys on the Sharks bench are too.
I mean, sluggish start against a little bit of a, you know, obviously a pretty good team. You're down early and you're kind of chasing the game. It's tough to battle back against teams like that. We just got to fix our start for sure.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing as we wake up on Sunday, January 24th, 2026? The San Jose Sharks are on the outside looking in the Western Conference wild card. 43 points, the same amount of points as the second wild card team, the Kings, and the first wild card team, the Kraken, but they are on the outside looking in due to a couple other tiebreakers like points percentage because the Sharks have played more games than the Kings and the Kraken. But we also need to acknowledge that while, yes, we are taking the Sharks and their playoff aspirations for real, look at how crowded the West is. Right behind San Jose is Nashville with 42 points. Tied in points with them is St. Louis with 42 points. And then there's Utah with 41 points. Calgary with 40 points. Chicago with 39. Vancouver with 37. And then you go back three more points to Winnipeg, 34 points. But the first wild card and the ninth team in the wild card race are separated by 6 points. That means if one team goes on a three-game win streak and the other one goes on a three-game losing streak, we could have a big-time shakeup in the Western Conference standings. But we are now officially with San Jose, at the very least, at the halfway mark. Some teams are a little bit beyond that. St. Louis has played 43 games, but Seattle has played the fewest with 39 games. Obviously, a long, long way to go, but it is fun seeing how tightly packed the wild card race is for the Western Conference. Obviously, at the top of the Pacific right now, you have Edmonton with 46 points, followed by Vegas with 45, followed by Anaheim with 45. And again, that means San Jose is 2 points out of third place and 3 points out of first place. And then you look at the Central Division, a little bit more of a stretched out look there. Dallas has 57 points, Minnesota has 58, and Colorado is way out in space compared to everybody else in the league with 69 points. You look at what's going on in the Eastern Conference. Carolina leads the Metro with 51 points. Tampa, who just took it to the Sharks yesterday, leads the Atlantic with 53 points. So that really tells you how far out in space right now Colorado is. And maybe you shouldn't feel as bad about the loss that San Jose suffered to them relatively recently. But I think you also have to look at this loss yesterday as not a reality check, because we've had a couple of those, but it's an understanding of how far the Sharks need to go and where their current weaknesses are if they are to be taken seriously as a playoff team, of which I have decided that's what we're going to do now, because they made it into 2026 in the playoff conversation. They need to maintain that mentality. They need to maintain that as their, you know, reality to continue that level of play, to be a team that's going to be taken seriously. I think they have a desire to be taken seriously. And if that's going to be their reality, then we need to hold them to that reality. You know, they're the ones who decided to start throwing the P word around in public. And I think that's a good thing. I think that, you know, yesterday Ryan Reeves said it in the postgame press conference. This is right after a 7-3 loss to Tampa Bay that told San Jose in no Unclear terms how far they have to go of where they want to be against one of the top teams in the East. But Ryan Reeves said, when I came here, I said we were going to make the playoffs, and I still believe that. And I might be paraphrasing that extent. I don't know the quote verbatim. But I, in hearing that, said, wow, that's an important thing for a leader like Ryan Reeves to say. And I think that's one thing yesterday that you can take away as a positive, was that San Jose's leadership core and the entirety of the team stepped up for Macklin Celebrini when a player on Tampa, Moser, who did not make dirty hits, but if you're going to make those plays, if you are going to take out the team's best player, you better be ready to fight for it. That's what I have learned from the NHL and veterans that I have talked to over the years. You know, I didn't hear from anyone yesterday saying what a dirty hit or hits those were against Celebrini, but the response was, well, if you're going to go out and do that, then you got to be ready to fight for it. And I think that's where the rage came from San Jose with Moser, and that's what let it spill over into something worse. And I thought that was a little soft, personally. Now, that's just me, a broadcaster. What do I know? But that was the mentality and the reaction that I had from all of that. But I loved seeing Goody respond, Ryan Reeves, Zach Ostapchuk, William Eklund. You go down the list, all those guys, you know, they had a really good response. They stepped up to the moment. I appreciated what they were willing to do. And, you know, I think some people might be wondering, well, why didn't the Sharks go, you know, run Kucherov through the boards or something to that extent? I don't think that that makes you a better or more respected team in that sense. I think that probably the rest of the league is looking at San Jose's quote-unquote proper reaction to the situation, not a cheap response, not a low response, that they kept themselves above the fray and reacted to it the right way. I think that's going to be the takeaway from the rest of the NHL. Would people have loved it if the Sharks had run Kucherov? Yeah, the fans would have. But I think the Sharks don't want to be that team. I think they want to show that they have respect for the game. And sometimes that is not as quote-unquote satisfying. But I do think the Sharks handled it the right way. Even if the other reaction would have made some people happy, I think that, again, the Sharks looked at it for what it was. They weren't going to be a dirty team. They weren't going to be a low-level team. You have to give that credit to Ryan Reeves, who for a long time has been an enforcer in this league. He knows how to handle things the right way. I love the response from Zach Ostapchuk and Barkley Goodrow and, you know, William Eklund. You go down the list, all these guys, they all reacted to it the right way. And Moser in particular did not react to it in the right way. And I think that's just, I'm not going to spend the entire show debating, you know, the unwritten rules of how things go in the NHL. I just think the Sharks did it right. And in that sense, Tampa did it wrong. But the problem with getting caught up in that talking point is that it ignores that the Sharks, you know, were not good enough from the start yesterday. And this wasn't just the team being asleep. I thought the Yaroslav Askarov was not at his best yesterday. And Ryan Warsawski alluded to that afterwards, said it wasn't the same as Vegas when the team just didn't show up in front of him. That, you know, there were some goals, particularly the second one that Askarov wanted back. But I actually thought when I was watching that second goal yesterday, I didn't not like the way that the defense responded and reacted and kind of tracked back and, you know, kind of got caught out in no man's land. There were just some moments throughout the game where the Sharks were exposed that when they go against these really fast teams that are not just fast on the puck, but are fast away from the puck, that the Sharks get exposed, because these experienced teams like Tampa, there is zero hesitation in their game. They go after the game, they go and grab it. In San Jose, against teams like that, whether it's Colorado, whether it's Washington, whether it's Vegas, whether it's Tampa, we have seen them get exposed in that extent. And if you look at them, and this is no disrespect to Minnesota, Minnesota is not on that level. You're right. I mean, they've made some changes, but they haven't proven themselves to be on that level. And that's evidenced by the fact that the Sharks have gone 3-0 against them this year, even if it took, you know, extra hockey in each single one of those games. But the Sharks, look at how they played against Vegas most recently, what I would call a quote-unquote true contender. They lost 7-2. Then they won 3 in a row. And then they played another really good team in Tampa, and they lost 7-3. I mean, those are harsh realities of the NHL, that you will be exposed against these really, really good teams if you are not on that level yet, specifically if it's a bad matchup for your team. You know, we look at some of the losses the Sharks had throughout the month of December most recently. You know, they lost to Washington 7-1. You know, they lost to Dallas 5-3. They lost to Vegas 7-2. You know, those are teams that know how to take it to San Jose and can put them in a bad way. Now, you want to go back to the month of November as well. That was a better month. Not many lopsided losses, but there was the 6-0 loss to Colorado. Everybody remembers that. And it seems like they're going to have, you know, one or two in every single month. You know, two for December, the 7-1 loss to Washington, the 7-2 loss to Vegas. And then so far in the month of January, they've got themselves that situation where they lost yesterday 7-3 to a really good Tampa team. Now, they obviously have another home game coming up on Tuesday night. They are going to be hosting Columbus before they go on the road to L.A. to take on the Kings. And then they've got another back-to-back coming up on the weekend where they host Dallas, and then they host Vegas before they go out on the road at Washington, at Detroit, at Florida, at Tampa, which is going to be a very, very difficult road trip, by the way. Then they are home for one against New York. Then they're back out on the road for three at Vancouver, at Edmonton, at Calgary. Then we get into the month of February, where they are going to be playing against Chicago and then against Colorado. So, you know, we do this every month, guys. We look at the schedule and we say, ooh, this is going to be a rough stretch for the Sharks, but they're going to have to prove themselves. So I didn't mean to get sidetracked with the schedule too much, but it reminded me of how important it was for San Jose to follow up their very, very high-quality month of November with a very, very high-quality month of December. They had 9 wins in the month of November. Then they followed it up with 8 wins in the month of December. And that's not a bad way to go about business in the NHL. Winning 8 and 9 games per month is a very, very high-quality way of playing, especially compared to what we've seen in the last several years from San Jose. That is a big step forward. But like I said, the schedule gets brutal. And if we're holding them to this standard of them wanting to be a playoff team, then we have to be very realistic about what they do in these bad losses and about what they need to do with the upcoming schedule. And so, yes, you can take these occasional bad losses if you're winning 8 and 9 games per month. But as we said, going forward, the schedule is going to be very, very punishing for San Jose. But this is where you learn. This is where you figure out what the team is. Every month that the Sharks are in a playoff spot, it's a great talking point. It's indicative of how far the team has come, of which the team has gone a far, far way from where they were a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But then those reminders like yesterday also show you that they still have a lot of work to do, that they're not at that upper tier type team level as of yet. Can they beat them occasionally? Yes, most definitely. They have beat some of the better teams in the NHL this year. Can they do it consistently on any given day unless they're absolutely perfect? I think the answer is absolutely no. And then because parity is so supreme in the NHL, when you do go up against these really high quality teams, Tampa Bay has a champion's pedigree. There's no doubt about that. Same story with Vegas. Same story against Colorado. Same story with Washington. Who are the four teams that have absolutely demolished San Jose this year? Tampa, Washington, Vegas, Colorado. And no surprise, no shock, and unsurprisingly, no win. One positive out of yesterday's game, in addition to the response from the team when Macklin Celebrini took a harsh hit or two, Pavel Regenda. This is a guy who has come up from the Barracuda and has scored 5 goals in, I believe, 4 games. He's scored a goal in 3 out of those 4 games. One of them is a game where he had a hat trick, his first in the NHL. And this is a big aspect where I look at this and think to myself, man, what a quality pipeline that Mike Greer has built for the San Jose Sharks, where every time they have a situation where they need to bring up another player, they have somebody to come up and respond and show what they can do. Adam Gaudette dealing with an injury, he goes down. The Sharks have someone step up, come up from the Barracuda and play a really high quality game. We've seen it from Ethan Cardwell. We've seen it from Zach Ostapchuk. We have seen it from Patrick Giles. We have seen it from Igor Chernyshov. We've now seen it from Pavel Regenda. And the next step is probably going to see if Luca Cagnoni gets his chance with San Jose, because Shakir Mukhmadulin obviously left yesterday's game after the first period, did not return. We did not find out what the issue was. Hopefully there'll be some more information coming out in the next day or so as San Jose prepares for their next game. But, you know, guys come up and are able to perform from the Barracuda. And that's exactly what you want to have happen in terms of organizational depth. You know, I don't like to make too many cross sports comparisons, but I think a team like the 49ers in the NFL have been a really good example of, you know, what organizational depth truly means. They have had a number of injuries this year to key players, and until last night, they still had a chance to win the NFC and get the top seed and win the West. And, you know, that's really a credit to a team's organizational depth. And I know that that is not the same as winning a division or winning a Super Bowl or anything like that, but you've got to give credit to teams that know how to organize themselves in such a way where they do not only have the next man up mentality, but they also have the next man up talent. And that's something that San Jose, I think, should very much be prided upon. And you give a lot of credit to the work of John McCarthy and Mike Greer and the entirety of the staff, you know, here in San Jose, that's been able to align those players in a pathway that allows them to have success, not just with the Barracuda, but with the San Jose Sharks as well, and ready to step in. And they're playing the same system. They know what it means to do, you know, what they're being asked on, whether it's the Barracuda or the San Jose Sharks. Another thing about that is that they're being put in similar situations. Igor Chernyshov goes from a top six role to a top six role. You know, Ethan Cardwell goes from a middle six role to a middle six role. Zach Ostapchuk goes from a bottom six role to a bottom six role. All in all, that means they're drafting well, they're developing well, they're acquiring well, and they're putting these players on a pathway towards success. And that is how teams have continuity from one year to the next. If you look at the way that teams have been able to endure for so long at such a high level in the NHL, the Sharks, obviously, because they had such a long run, sustained success, and had to trade away so many assets for the future, you saw that it came to a harsh end. Hopefully, Mike Greer will be able to put something in place to where San Jose is always able to restock that cupboard, is always able to keep themselves flush with talent, to where if they do have to move on from a player in free agency or whatever happens, injury, we all know how professional sports is, that they have somebody ready to come up and step into that role. There are going to be difficult decisions to make about trades, about the ability to acquire players, about the ability to go out there and make the right move to set your team up for the here and now as well as the future. But again, if you have those players ready to come up, if you're developing them the right way, when you're putting them on that pathway to success, you can see the obvious carryover that it has into a game or into a season. Igor Chernyshov being the most obvious example of what we've seen in the last couple of days. And then Pavel Regenda getting his chance yesterday. Let's hear some of those Regenda highlights yesterday, because there wasn't a lot from San Jose, but Regenda did obviously earn his time in Teal.
Here's another chance for Celebrini on the power play. Throwing it over to the middle. Shot toward the net. Stick save, rebound. Score! Regenda gets it in front. Pinballs it off the post and gets retribution for that great chance he had earlier. Pavel Regenda gets the Sharks on the board with a power play, and it is 3-1.
That was one of the few feel-good moments yesterday, because you really thought that the Sharks were going to be able to fight their way back into that game. Pavel Regenda gives San Jose a chance. They had the timeout after they were down 2-0. Then it was 3-0, and they were just hoping there'd be some sort of a response. And that was, you know, as quick as it happened, because shortly thereafter, the Sharks were down 4-1 and 5-1. But, you know, Pavel Regenda proving that he has the ability to score, and he was obviously not done on the day.
That's Pontus Holmberg at the near side trying to get it, but he couldn't get control, and the Sharks break out. They've got a 2-on-1. It's Skinner moving in, shooting it, save, rebound, score! Timothy Liljegren trailing the play, gets credit for the goal. It was a 2-on-1. In front of it, it was Regenda, but Skinner was going to shoot that one all the way. It went off of the goaltender, Vasilevskiy, and Liljegren very alertly jumped up into the play. The puck just sat there for him, and he knocked it in to make the score. Lightning 5 and the Sharks 2.
Now, just to let you all know, because we didn't say Regenda in that goal, initially it was reported as Liljegren. They went back and reviewed it, and they credited the goal to Regenda, which was unfortunate in one sense because it took away a point from Aklan Celebrini, but was also awesome because it set up the stage for Regenda in what was otherwise a lost game to give fans a happy moment in what was otherwise a lost game.
Here come the Sharks in. Regenda shoots. Score! Hat trick for Pavel Regenda. He gets it in the slot and a simple dump in. And Regenda is the lone bright spot for the Sharks in this game, picking up the 3-goal hat trick. And that makes the score the Lightning 7 and the Sharks 3.
Just taking a look at the box score from yesterday. Regenda, 3 goals, 3 points. Jeff Skinner, he's been playing better as of late. 2 assists on the day. Timothy Liljegren back in the lineup. 2 assists on the day. Macklin Celebrini, a point. And then after that, not much else coming out of the San Jose lineup. Obviously, both Nedeljkovic and Askarov played yesterday. Neither was particularly amazing. Neither was particularly in a great place to have a high-level performance. I don't put it all on the goalies. I think Askarov especially wants a couple back, but that's just it's a bad day for San Jose across the board, other than Pavel Regenda. So from there, let's get into some of the post-game reaction. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Warsawski.
Yeah, we weren't ready to play. Drop of the puck.
In that, you know, when you guys went on 3-0, a lot of it seemed like just sorting out the defense on the counterattack. Just what was the struggle with that in the first period?
Yeah, you know, I think you look at some of those goals, we were just a little out of structure. We don't make the right play with the puck to start. You know, first shift, we give up a pizza right up the middle, and it's a grade A scoring chance. And from there on out, it felt like we were on our heels.
You look at just the veteran on this team, the respect that they had. What can you take away from how they, you know, just they went over and over, they had rounds of, you know, breaking you guys down?
Yeah, it's a competitive team. That's probably up there with one of the best teams we've seen this year. As far as how they play, how they compete, how competitive they are up and down their lineup. He's obviously done a really good job of building a culture there and what the expectation is and how you need to play. And we're obviously not there yet.
From a culture perspective, obviously Eklund steps up twice when Matt gets hit. What do you think of the second one that, you know, it did ultimately lead to a penalty against the power play? What do you think of that one?
Yeah, we stuck up for each other and stuck up for Mac, and we'll do that. You know, I don't see that being an issue.
So with a disappointing game like this, do you take time to look at what we're going to do with the hat trick?
Obviously, you go to the net, you score goals. That's the positive of it. So good for him to get a hat trick, but we got a lot to work on.
With the slow starts, you know, it's happened a couple times this year, most recently Vegas. Is it frustrating that the lessons aren't being learned, or is it just a matter of time and experience for a lot of these guys?
You know, I think a little bit of both. You know, I think there's times where, you know, we do start on time, we have good energy, we play the right way, and there's times where we don't. We got to figure the reasons out why that happens. You know, a lot of it's self-inflicting with our puck play is really what it comes down to.
You know, a lot of their plays early on, it seemed like they created something out of nothing with those short passes in the crease. What do you think prevented, you know, the D were in the position, everybody was checking back, but how they got those little passes across and in the net?
They're really good players. They make him, Kucherov and Point are two of the best players at making plays in tight. You know, we do need to work on, you know, pucks go through us a lot with our D, and we got to do a better job of getting that, you know, detail, you know, cleaned up here a little bit.
Any update on Madouli?
No, not yet.
What did you see what happened, or is it just the same thing he's been doing?
No, I haven't talked to the trainers yet.
Two of those three goals to start off with were kind of the similar in the sense that there's a player of yours trying to make a play in offensive zone, there's a turnover. Is that more of a question of, like, you got to execute that play, or you shouldn't try to play like the plays that were tried there? That led to the turnovers and the on net rushes.
Yeah, I mean, there's times you got to be able to make plays, and there's times where we want to play behind teams and play, you know, below the top of the circles, and there's times you got to execute, you know, so we'll look at it and fix it.
Last time you guys pulled a Yarrow there, we talked in Vegas. You said it was disappointing because you guys just aren't giving him a chance to play a whole game. So is this the same kind of thing today where you just didn't give him a chance today?
I don't know. You know, I think there's some goals there he probably wants back. You know, I think the second one would be one of them. So, you know, Askey's been playing some pretty good hockey. Again, we forget that he's still developing as a goalie in this league and to be a number one. And this is probably a learning moment for himself.
And that is a valid excuse right now. This is still a learning opportunity from Yaroslav Askarov and what he's got to figure out in the NHL. But, you know, those talking points of learning moments for a lot of these core San Jose Sharks players, whether it's Askarov, whether it's Mook Madulin, they're not going to be with them forever. So you have to learn these lessons now. That's the one distressing thing, I guess, you can take away from these losses against really good teams this year. Colorado, Washington, yesterday, obviously, Tampa Bay, Dallas, is that, you know, the Sharks are not, quote unquote, learning the lessons in the immediacy because they're still walking away with bad starts and bad performances against really good teams. But the other side of that is that they haven't been given enough time to learn those lessons. That's the other aspect here, is that you're still in a team that's trying to fight for a wild card spot. You're still a team that's trying to fight for their lives in the NHL and try and prove that they belong. And that's what the overall emphasis is. It's not about necessarily correcting the mistakes against the greatest teams. It's about beating everybody else to keep yourself in the race, of which I do believe there is a lot to appreciate about that. But at the same time, you have to acknowledge that the Sharks, you know, they're getting those harsh lessons and they need to learn from them sooner rather than later. Let's hear what Pavel Regenda had to say after his hat trick performance.
Oh, been in the front of that and got rewarded for it. So happy with that. But yeah, the game result was not really good, you know. Did a couple mistakes too in the backside, you know, defensive zone. So got a lot to learn and improve my game.
What did you see from the Lightning that made it so difficult to defend?
I feel like they were just, you know, really fast. They hold in the puck. You know, they're an experienced team, you know, and they really look great out there. And, you know, we didn't catch the start and that they gave them, you know, a lot of energy. It was 3-0 right away. And it's really hard to come back against a team like that.
Even on your first goal, it seemed like you had a huge chance the second before that.
Yeah.
Can you take us through that?
Yeah, again, incredible pass by Mag. You know, whatever he does is just incredible, and kind of whiffed on it. And you know, that was was lucky that right after, you know, I had another chance, and also it was post, you know, post in. So I was like, oh my God, he's not gonna go in. So yeah, but yeah, great play from Mag. You know, then again, guys are worked their eyes off to get it back to the net, and again, got rewarded for it.
So when they jumped you guys that quick, 3-0. What was said at the first intermission?
We just, you know, we got to wake up. You know, they jumped on us, and, you know, like first goal, I didn't back check enough. You know, I kind of take a breath, didn't back check all the way down, and, you know, that cost us a goal. And then, you know, we just left them open, and guys like them, you know, Kucherov and those guys, they're going to score a goal right away. So, yeah, just, you know, get back on track. You know, it was 3-0. It was still, you can come back 3 goals, that's easy. And yeah, I just can, you know, kind of get back to our game and wake up.
How do you build confidence from your performance going forward?
From my performance? I mean, I got to be really much better in the D zone. I, you know, had a couple mistakes I did, and I want to play up and down, you know, both sides of the ice are really great. So I'm confident with the goals, but, you know, unfortunately we lost the game, and, you know, just trying to enjoy every day I'm here. And well, you know, work around that and do what I can.
You guys go down 2-0 and then timeout is called there. Is that the same message that you mentioned between intermission, just the wake-up call? Was that what the message was after timeout?
Yeah, that was, you know, after 3 goals we had a timeout. So, yeah, we just, you know, we didn't really catch a start, and we kind of were like a little bit sleepy, you know, and we're missing, you know, like me on the back check. I just, you know, stopped for a second, left point open, and, you know, he's going to score that. So he's a great player. So just, you know, get back on track.
When you guys see a guy like Willie Mecklin, stand up to a Moser, a much bigger guy like that, you know, does that kind of get you guys going?
Yeah, of course. You know, then we had a couple of fights there from the fourth line, and he had two kind of like heavy hits on the Mag, and you know, he's our best player, and nobody wants him to get injured or whatever. So of course we're gonna step for each other, and that was a really good job from Eklund. You know, he's a smaller guy, but still, you know, that's, you see how the group is tight, and, you know, whatever guy it is, he's going to step on him.
So since you got this hat trick during a disappointing loss, is there still a memento that you'll get for your first hat trick?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I have more goals now here than in Barracuda, so happy with this, and I don't even know what's going on really lately. Glad I got to thank God, you know, for it. And just, you know, of course, yeah, if you score 3 goals, of course you feel better than, you know, I would have a 0 in those games. So just, you know, just still trying to play my game, not going to think about anything else and not going to create anything. Like, I'm not going to dangle guys now. So I'm just going to keep doing the same thing. So
I like that riffy as where he says, I'm not going to dangle guys. He's just going to get net front, which honestly, I love that simplistic attitude. I always go back to the KISS mentality from Drew Remenda. Keep it simple, stupid. And yes, that is what a lot of guys need to do when you're in a tough game. You don't need to go out there and be a hero. You need to get net front, put yourself in a dangerous position, and if the puck comes your way, be there to redirect it home. That's obviously what Pavel Regenda has as part of his game. Before we run out of time, I do want to give you a little bit of Ryan Reeves, because I thought he had some good thoughts on what went down yesterday, and obviously a player experienced as him understands what was being asked of him throughout the game.
I mean, sluggish start against a little bit of a, you know, obviously a pretty good team. You're down early and you're kind of chasing the game. It's tough to battle back against teams like that. We just got to fix our start for sure.
And he offered this when talking about Tampa Bay.
I mean, when they get in motion, they're a dangerous team. I think they broke our structure down in the D zone a little bit, got us running around, and then they know how to hit seams, that top line. They know how to, make you move one way and put it through the seam the other way. And once you get stretched out, it's hard to defend that. So, we got to do a better job of kind of protecting the house a little bit and not getting so stretched out. But, I think that's how a lot of those goals went.
All right, we are out of time. I will see you all on Tuesday as we get ready for the San Jose Sharks to have the first of a back-to-back, home versus Columbus, away versus LA. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.